Hi, everybody. Come on in. Welcome to the Tiny Habits book study call. So excited to be here. Let me go ahead and change my name and get us going. As you come in, go ahead and grab anything you might need, whether it's your copy of the book, because we're going to be discussing the book today, Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg. Grab your water, your tea, your coffee, whatever you like to drink. Go ahead and get settled in. So excited. Hey, Coach Heather. We've got Coach Heather with us. And we are going to be discussing the book. So go ahead and get ready because this call's a little bit different. On this call, a few No BS women come up with me and we discuss the book, like just casually discuss the book, our takeaways. I have some questions for us. And we're going to share our favorite tidbits and takeaways from the book. So if you know you're in a good place to talk, you can raise your hand. If you're in a good place with like a good connection, if you want to talk about the book with us, it's very like just low pressure, just fun, casual conversation about the book that we read for the month. It doesn't matter if you haven't finished the book yet. You can still raise your hand and come on and I'm excited for us to share our takeaways and how they pertain to weight loss, like how you guys are applying this to the four basics and to weight loss. So if that's you, if you want to raise your hand and come on, go ahead and raise your hand as soon as you're ready. And in the meantime, I'm going to get us going. Let me see if I can change my name here. This is the book study call if you're coming in. I'm Coach Yesenia. I'm an OBS coach here inside the program, and I have been here at OBS for almost 2 years. I'm a single mom. I live in Georgia. I work with about 20, 21 private clients each week, and I help them work on losing their weight, and I help them apply the four basics consistently, and I help them work on anything that gets in the way of that, whether it's emotional eating, the relationships, work stress, anything like that. That's what I do. That's what I help my clients do. That's what I spend most of my time doing. But one of the other big things I do is book study. And this has been a really good one. I have seen you guys really enjoy this book, ask lots of really good questions, share lots of really interesting ideas. I've been in the Facebook group with you guys, and I love the ideas that you guys have come up with around this book and weight loss. So I'm excited to hear from you guys today and hear how you have been applying the Tiny Habits concepts. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Okay. So, like I said, on this call, it's not just me talking, but go ahead and raise your hand if you want to come on here and discuss the book with me. If we could get a couple of people, two or three people, that would be great. I think it's what makes these calls so fun, is discussing the book together. So go ahead and raise your hand. I'm looking for a couple of people to come up with me. Does it matter if you didn't finish reading the book yet? If you're a little nervous, that's okay because it's me up here with you with a couple of other No BS women and we will chat together. So I'll give you guys a minute to raise your hand so that we can get going. Raise your hand if you want to come on here and discuss the book with me. I know you guys have something to say. I've been hearing you guys talk about it in the Facebook groups. I would love to see some of you guys raise your hand. Just find a good, comfortable spot, grab your book, and like raise your hand and come on here with us. I'll give us a couple minutes to get some people on here. And while we do that, I wanted to share something from the book that's a really good exercise that I've been seeing some people implement with weight loss. So I wanted to share it on here and make sure everybody knew about it. I think it's a really good exercise to do. Hello, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I love seeing the chat going. Yeah. Raise your hand if you want to come on here so we can discuss. Okay, so the exercise comes from page 54 in the book. I think it's chapter 2. And BJ Fogg calls this the swarm of behaviors. I think this is really good. Even if you're like listening to this replay and you didn't really read the book, it's a really good exercise to do. Anybody can do it. It's the swarm of behaviors. And he has you basically, you know, you can take just any old piece of paper, get a piece of paper, write down the aspiration or outcome in the middle of the paper, whether it's weight loss or not eating at night or movement, you know, anything like that, any sort of like goal, aspiration, outcome that you have, write it in the middle. You just draw a little cloud around it, and then you're going to come up with ideas. So you're going to draw lines coming out of that cloud or bubble, and you're just going to come up with as many ideas as you can for ways to create that goal, ways to achieve that goal. It could be big ideas. It could be small ideas. It could be one-time things that you do. It could be ongoing things that you do. It could be something you would stop doing. But you're just going to sit there for a few minutes and you're just going to come up with as many ideas as you can. The more, the better, because once you get going, you can come up with some really good ideas. And you're just going to do that as a way to help you come up with ideas to achieve your goal. So again, you could do this with like avoiding nighttime eats or stopping at enough at dinner or lowering your stress at work without snacks or reaching maintenance by the end of the year. The name of the book is Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg, Tiny Habits. And so that was one really good takeaway from the book. I didn't put this in the study guide. The other exercise that he has in here, I did put in the study guide. That one is called Focus Mapping. That one's on page 59. That's another really good exercise that you can do to help you come up with ideas for behaviors. But both of those were really good exercises. But since I didn't put the swarm of behaviors on page 54 in the study guide, I wanted to cover that today on the call. That would be a really good exercise for anyone who is stuck. If you've been stuck with your weight loss, if you've been stuck like in the same 5 pounds, or you're stuck with like your nighttime eats, like fill out a swarm of behaviors and post a picture in the Facebook group and ask for more ideas. Some of us here are really, really creative. Like I saw some of you guys post your own in the Facebook group and you guys came up with some really great ideas for the swarm of behaviors. And I'm going to copy paste a link to the Facebook group where somebody did this. So we had a couple No BS women do this in the No BS book study Facebook group. And there were some really good ideas. So I'm going to go ahead and post that. the swarm of behaviors. Let me just type that in. Swarm of behavior examples. If you wanted to see what I'm talking about, you can go look at that. Okay, awesome. I see a couple of hands raised. I'm going to go ahead and bring up Melissa and Julie, and then anybody else who wants to join us, you can still join us if you're still getting settled in, putting on your bra, whatever you're doing on this lovely Saturday morning. You still have time if you want to come on here and join us for the book study group. Otherwise, feel free to join us in the chat. You're always welcome in the chat. But thank you, Melissa and Julie, for raising your hand. Let me go ahead and bring you up. Let's see. And Julie. Okay. I hear somebody. Okay, there you are. Melissa Thanks. And Julie. Welcome, ladies. Okay. Hi. Where are you guys coming in from?
I'm in Columbus. Pittsburgh.
We're close.
Pittsburgh. Say that again. You go first, Julie. Where are you coming
in from? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. The suburbs. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Melissa?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, you guys aren't too far from each other. Uh-uh. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm excited to talk about the book. Did you guys finish reading it yet, or where are you guys at in the book? I'll bring my document
over. I don't want to talk at the same time. I read it, I borrowed it from the library, and I have an iPad and GoodNotes, so I actually would highlight text that I wanted to keep and put it in GoodNotes, but also took screenshots of some of the charts and things that he had in there so that I could refer to it before I had to return the book. So that's how I did finish reading it.
Awesome. Yeah. That was one of my favorite parts of the book, is like how many pictures and diagrams he had. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about a good diagram. It just really helps me understand what someone is talking about. So what about you, Melissa?
I listened to most half of it, but then it was, I realized I was listening to it passively. So then I went back and I'm like that chapter where they're talking about changing as a group, but I'm like actively listening this time. So almost done.
Yeah. Nice. All right. And I'd love to know, like, I love this call because I get to talk to you guys. I get to talk to some No BS women and hear from you guys. I'd love to hear, like, when did you guys join No BS? I'm curious as to how long you guys have been around the membership.
I'm an OG. I've been around this December. It'll be 5 years.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. And I learn a lot every day. So,
Yeah. I'd love to hear like why you've decided to stick around for 5 years. Like what's some of the best stuff you've gotten out of the membership?
I have really good friends for one thing, but that's not the main reason. I'm in a couple of weeks, I will be 64 and I had 50 years of dieting and diet mentality to unwind. And although it wasn't always obvious to me, people in No BS and a good friend I have here have seen a huge difference in me. I had to break down all of that diet mentality stuff, and I'm still working on it. Just last night I noticed I did it. Mm. And so that's why I'm sticking around. And I have another 10, 15 pounds I'd like to lose still, although I'm beginning to realize I'm just fine the way I am. So yeah, it's just, I get so much out of learning about life from No BS, not just losing weight.
Yeah. And I bet you're not alone in like what you said earlier about like everybody around you has noticed such a change in you. That's something that I've heard as well, like from other members. And I mean, I've heard it from my own family and friends too, ever since I joined.
Yeah.
It's such a like beautiful thing from the membership. And a lot of us don't realize like it just changes everything. What about you, Melissa? How long have you been inside the membership?
It's been about a year. I joined, I think about this time or August last year. And then I did the camp in, was that October? The end of September.
Yeah. Congratulations on your very first year inside of the membership. Mm-hmm. How exciting. Yeah. Yeah. And then one more little question before we get going. I'd love to hear what's been your favorite course inside the membership? Is there one that stands out to you?
Yeah. I think 2 Octobers ago, we did a self-love course. Might have been even 3. I did it remotely, that one, and it really changed my life. It was, you know, I did nothing right. I was the scum of the earth. I used to use those words. And I, you know, and now I don't feel that way at all. So that really was a pivotal, I decided to love myself then. That's my new motto. Mm-hmm. And I never would have even said that before. So that was mine.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. What about you, Melissa?
I would say trusting your body. I liked how it tied in the nervous system, because I've never with any diets or anything had anything to like, oh, it's part of your nervous system. Chill that out. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a big one for me too. I love how it addresses the nervous system. It's something that a lot of people don't really know about, but it plays such a big role with like how you show up in your day-to-day life. Some people constantly live like in a fight or flight mode, like above home base or below home base. And, you know, we don't even realize it. So I love that the course kind of sheds some light around that. Yeah. Welcome, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, ladies. It's really great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love your tattoo.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about you? Where are you coming in from?
So currently I'm in upstate New York, but I live in Florida. I'm actually here helping my mom. She had a total knee replacement surgery a couple of weeks ago. So, and I think it was Julie, did you say you were the one that listened passively and then went back? Or
no, that's me.
Melissa. So that was me. I'd been listening and listening and listening. And then I came up here and I was like, I don't remember. So I ended up going back and re-listening, and I'm in chapter 3. And I am like picking up so many more pieces. And so it's been a real help coming here, being here for a month. All of my routines have been shaken up and turned around. And she was in the hospital in rehab for 10 days. And so my sleep was off, my water was off, my exercise was off, my eating patterns were a little different, not much. But it was like, oh, what's the tiniest thing I can do? Go to the store. So it's been really helpful to go back and listen and apply the techniques to a new scenario versus my very well-practiced routines at home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great situation to apply the tiny habits concept to, for sure. Because in a situation like that, it can be easy for everything to just feel like chaotic and out of your routine, and then like, oh, may as well pick up food or go eat here, like just do what's easy, do it, like throw planning out the window, right?
Yeah.
And so,
and that was like one of the things I did a few months ago was switch to digital for my planning and all of that. So with the book, being able to go in and grab those worksheets and screenshot those graphs and stuff, I was like, oh, so all I need is my iPad. It's made it so much easier to take it with me and have it wherever.
Yeah. Are you guys digital divas too? I'm a digital diva. I switched over probably close to a year ago now. I really like it. You too, Melissa?
Yeah. It's so easy. And if I don't get a plan done in the morning, I can just, I have it on my phone and I just, everywhere I go, like there's no excuse.
Yeah.
To piggyback what you said, Stephanie, too, I think Tiny Habits came at the right time. July 5th, I finished radiation treatment for breast cancer. So my whole life since March has been like completely crazy. So I went back to work the end of July. And so like this month, August, I set out to get 4,000 steps a day and just started small. And I did it 28 out of the 31 days. So, and now I'm up to like 7,000. So it was just perfect timing.
Yeah. Is that something that you applied the tiny habits concept to, or was that something you kind of did on your own?
No, I applied it because I posted this to the board. I'm the one that has that. I post my screenshot. You can't see that. But like, it's like after I pack my work bag in the morning, I'll wipe off a counter.
I remember that.
Yeah. After I turn off the bedroom light, I'll relax.
I love that one. That one I stole. I was like, that's a good one. But after I turn off the light, I'll relax for 3 breaths.
And this one's huge because I was like, I got out of the journaling thing because I had to get up and go to appointments. And like, after I leave my bedroom in the morning, I'll like walk into the loft and open my journal so then I can get back into the journal. I liked the idea of prompts to like remind you to do something.
Yeah. I think for a lot of us, we you know, have a habit that we want to do, whether it's tied to the four basics or not, and then we keep forgetting to do it. And then we, mm-hmm. of course, you know, think we're broken or something, when it's like, no, you were just missing a prompt. You were just missing mm-hmm. something to remind you. So I thought that was a really good takeaway for a lot of us. Like, oh, I just, I'm missing a prompt here.
So I can actually relate to both of you. Also, my the reason I raised my hand is because I was away at our place in Chautauqua, New York for a month, the whole month of August, and I didn't have my scale. So I thought, well, I can't measure what I weigh. What can I measure? Mm-hmm. And in the in 4 years, I have never to this day until this past month used the actual habit tracker and done the entire month. I've done the first 4 days many times, and then I just stopped doing it. So the major habit that I changed was I used the habit tracker consistently. But in there, I thought, well, what tiny things can I measure? And I measured things like doing a discovery worksheet each day. Doing a, even more important to me, is a success worksheet, which could be success urge, but just even successes. I would write down those things. Did I make my plan? Did I follow my plan? Did I wait till for hunger? Did I stop it enough? Those were the regular ones. I don't even do sleep or making my plan, because I always do those and I always exercise. But then when I did the percentages and all that, that I'm was supposed to be doing for the last 4 years, never did. It was not a surprise. I was surprised. But what my takeaway was that, oh, I'm doing a lot. Like, yay me, you know, that. And it was so much more positive that these are all the tiny habits, tiny steps that will take me to where I want to go. And it's, none of them are big deals. But the biggest deal for me was actually using the habit tracker at all. It was because I was out of my routine also, and I had to measure something besides the scale. So I've decided the scale is useless for me, you know, because it obviously didn't do anything for me for the last 3 or 4 years. So I'm going to continue with that. And I've changed up this month. I'm measuring a few different tiny habits, little things that I can change. So I noticed, oh, drinking was one of them, a big one for me, having alcohol-free days. And I didn't have many in August, I have to say. So I have an accountability group just for that. And I said, I'm going to cut it in half, not none for the whole month, which I have done and I can do, but I'm just going to make it less and just track that. And so anyway, this book was perfect timing for me as well. And the other major thing is, before I forget to say it, is every day, almost every day, I say, today is going to be a great day. And I have a better day, I swear, because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my favorite things that he talked about in the book, for sure. Like, that can impact your whole day. Otherwise, we tend mm-hmm. to default to looking for what's going wrong in the day, and then you kind of, kind of bad mood or whatever. But if you say, like, oh, today's going to be a good day, you're just looking for those little things.
Mm-hmm.
This lights up your day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the showing up and thinking on purpose. And I remember when we read Johnny Depp's book Soundtracks.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I still do every single day is say, everything is always working out for me. Especially when something doesn't go the way I wish it would go. And I'm like, okay, everything's always working out for me. So clearly that mm-hmm. wasn't the right path or direction. So I like adding this, today's going to be a great day, to that, because it reinforces, the two reinforce each other.
Yeah.
And
you guys, I like, have any other good little tidbits like that? So today's going to be a good day. Someone said in the chat, today's a good day to have a good day. Everything's always working out for me.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other, or in the chat, if you want to share in the chat, like any other good little mantras like that?
I woke up this morning just early at 5 o'clock. I don't know why, but then I decided at 6 to go for a walk. So while I was walking, listening to Tiny Habits. I was like, I am a person that gets up and goes for a walk early Saturday morning. I can tell you a month ago, there's no way I would have done that. But even, you know, I was like, all right, I'm celebrating that I'm making this decision. I'm headed out. And then afterwards, and I even, so he talks about the celebration. Here's mine. It's really corny. So in the list, if you download like the PDF, he has like 300. One's throwing fake confetti.
That's kind of cool.
One of my accountability partners, she has a daughter that one time put something on her head and was like, ta-da. So I just say like, ta-da.
As someone with little kids, I appreciate that because like we've made the mistake of bringing like glitter and stuff into the house before.
Oh no.
And then like, you know, cause my first grader had like a school project, but I made the mistake of like not putting it away somewhere out of reach. And then like, I was working one day and I come out of my office and like our whole first floor covered in glitter because, you know, she took it upon herself to do this project. And without my supervision, we had glitter around for like a month. So I like the idea of like with the kids, if we celebrate something for them, whether it's like a soccer goal or they got a good grade on something or they just did something they're proud of, like let's do some fake confetti, some fake glitter, and there's no cleanup.
Fantastic. As a mom of three girls, now that they're all grown, I can completely appreciate the glitter analogy.
I remember like walking in and I was like, oh my goodness.
And you find it in your eyelashes like a month later. It's just everywhere, everywhere.
Yeah. In the grout, in my car.
In the grout, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, let's talk about like good tiny habit recipes that we came up with or that we thought of throughout the month, whether they're related to weight loss or the four basics or just anything. It could be anything, self-care or just good habits that you like to have. What were some good tiny habit recipes? And I'll kind of start with one that I just thought of because we were talking about kids. But I think a good one that I noticed that I do, but I didn't really realize it was a tiny habit was, what is it? When my first grader opens her eyes in the morning, I will smile at her. And so I think that's a good one. Like I thought about that a while back. Like sometimes I wake her up in the morning and you're just in a rush and you're like, get up, let's go. We got to get moved. And I'm like, wait, I don't want her first moment of the day to be like mom's in a rush and, you know, trying to get her out the door. Like, so that was one little thing I started doing with her was the first time she opens her eyes in the morning, like I want to smile at her. And so I was like, oh, that's a tiny habit I'm doing that I didn't even realize was a tiny habit until we started talking about the glitter fiasco. But what about you guys?
My friend, the accountability partner who has the daughter with the ta-da, she said every time she sees her kids, you know, you're so excited, like after school, you're like, hey. And so it's not completely in every day, but just like when you see yourself in the mirror in the morning, be like, it's kind of like the Maui habit, like, good morning, Melissa, like all happy.
Yeah.
And just kind of greet yourself like, you greet your daughter.
Yeah. So this could be like, if you don't have kids, you could still, or if you do, like you could still, whenever you wake up in the morning, when I first look in the mirror in the morning, I will say good morning and smile, right? Like that's a cool tiny habit, right? Like you're greeting yourself. Yeah.
Any I like other? That. I think I kind of do a version of that already. Yeah. I didn't realize that I was like, I don't know that I've worked on that, but I've been trying to be kinder when I do pass the mirror. And so, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Any other good habit recipes?
I don't know if it's a recipe, but I have changed a habit that I didn't even know. I knew I did it, but I didn't realize it was just a habit. And that was avoiding bad feelings, feeling anything. And so I, you know, the 90 second and the whole, we've done many things on feelings. And I have a 90 second to your goals, or it's something like that. I put on my planner almost every single day. And recently in August, we were actually in Chautauqua when, I don't want to bring up something new, but Salman Rushdie was stabbed and I witnessed that. And it was very traumatic. I was in the audience. And so normally I would shut that off and everything's okay and I'm fine and we're going to do this. And it's, you know, I'm very matter of fact. And I decided to let myself feel whatever came up, which was very brave of me to do. So, and I survived it. And I, you know, I did the crying and I did the whatever. And, but 2 days later, I'm sure I was better off because I allowed myself to feel it and it didn't kill me. And I certainly didn't get pregnant. So, but I've done that since then. I've had some family members have some diagnoses that I don't love, mm-hmm. and I'm letting myself feel them, feel those feelings instead of being Pollyanna. And which I know my mother did. I didn't realize, oh, I do that too. And so that's my recipe habit. I guess it's not really a recipe, but allowing that, I think of it as 90 seconds. It's not just feel the feels, but I can do anything for 90 seconds. It usually is longer than that, but I survive it. So that was what I thought of.
Yeah.
Anybody I had forgotten else? That took place up here. I'm in upstate New York now also. So I got here the middle of August, which was right after that happened.
Mm. Yeah. Certainly wasn't something we'd expect in Chautauqua, New York, but yeah. So anyway, I didn't want it to be about that, but it was quite traumatic. And I've never been in a situation where I witnessed a crime like that, so close up. And now I know, you know, we survived and I wanted to not push it under the rug. That was my point is I just wanted to acknowledge that this is a big deal, you know, and
That's something that a lot of us inside of the membership work on, right? It was like not avoiding feelings, making sure we're addressing them head on, even though it can be difficult. And so like a tiny habit around that could be, so I like what you said, like it's, I can do 90 seconds, but maybe it starts with like a deep breath, right? Like whenever I feel blah, 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 I will start feeling my emotions by taking one deep breath, right? Or I will set the timer. Whatever it is, that could be a good habit recipe for feeling your feelings.
And also just dropping into my body and where am I feeling it? I still have a long way to go with that. I have no idea where I feel it and because I never let myself feel it. So being, you know, that trusting your body, that's what I got out of that too is, and I probably should go through it again now with new thought, you know, as I evolve and like, do I feel it in my chest? Do I feel it in my throat? Do I feel it in my head?
Yeah.
And just being aware.
Maybe and then letting where you feel numb, through. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're not feeling it, maybe for a lot of us, if we've not felt things for a long time, it's like, where do I feel numb? Where am I not feeling anything? That could
be. Yeah. And not eating and not drinking to avoid all of that. And
let me shut my window.
Go ahead. All right. And then what was like your favorite overall, like what was your favorite takeaway from the book or your favorite quote from the book or what surprised you from the book?
I think one for me was like, even when, and the, it brought up the habit tracker when he was talking about this, like he was talking about flossing his teeth and that, you know, like where in the chain was the weak link and it was the effort because the floss was so thick. And he's like, some days I still didn't feel like doing it, but I still did one tooth. And so I think, you know, when I think back to my habit tracker, because I love to see my habit tracker data, I've gotten used to doing assessments now each month. So like, even if my plan is literally just to write in doable hunger all day, it's still a plan. And in my mind, I've made a plan. Normally I would write out, you know, what I'm planning on eating, but some days just... it gets busy. I get, you know, so I just grab my tablet and I just write doable hunger in each block. That's
and like, now there's like an intention.
Yeah.
Versus going into the day with like, well, who knows what could happen? Like I didn't make a plan. And then like you're having thoughts about that. And
And that gives me my blue dot on my habit tracker. So
like it.
I did it. I did the habit, even though it was just the starter, not really the starter step, but like the scaled back version.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. What about you guys, Julie and Melissa, favorite takeaways from the book, favorite tidbits or quotes, anything that surprised you from the book?
I like that. So I'm doing like Urges 2.0 and in that Corinne talks about like taking a break for 3 minutes. And this actually ties into Julie's 90 seconds. He talks about training with Weight Watchers. And I never even thought of this. Like, so if you're counting calories or points or all of that, you're really, especially before you eat, you're giving yourself that like 2 minutes, 90 seconds, 3 minutes that Corinne says, like, especially with an urge, you're literally sitting there. And I was like, oh, so I've been doing this much longer than I've realized, right? Like, so if you're like, I'm going to go have popcorn and you have to do calories or points, you're concentrating on that. And then you decide at that point whether you're going to eat or not. So you could take that minute or two with your urge to sit with your feeling, to see what it is, try to figure it out, feel it in your body, and then decide if you're going to have the item or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say that do the tiny habit well is, you know, like, it doesn't have to be a big deal, but just concentrate on doing whatever you've chosen. And it adds up over time that, you know, instead of saying, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, well, I'm going to floss my teeth. I'm going to pause. Pause is my word of the year. So I write that all the time on my planner too. I'm going to write my planner. I'm going to do a discovery worksheet, like all those little doable things. And then Corinne always says, when you do them and you take the actions over time, you get confident in your ability to do that and you feel success, and that's rewarding. And you can get your dopamine hits by saying, look at that, I did a discovery worksheet, 31 days in August. Wow, yay me. And you can get dopamine hits from that, positive things.
Yeah. You bring up an interesting point for sure, Julie. I mean, what if, like, how many of us here, like, say, oh, we want to lose 10 more pounds, right? You just said, like, lose 10 more pounds. And when we think of a goal like that, it can feel frustrating and, like, and then, like, you let's say you lose a couple pounds, but then you regain. And it, like, it's just like this emotional roller coaster. But what if you have to, what if you had to take a goal, like, lose 10 pounds, and you had to think of it as a series of tiny habits? That would kind of get you there brick by brick, right? Like, what would be the very first tiny habit that I would start with and let me do that? And then, like, and then once I get good at that and I've got that going and I'm feeling good about it and I'm celebrating, like, add on the next tiny habit. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to hear in the chat, like, ideas for that. Like, if your overall goal was lose 10 pounds, what tiny habit would you start with? Like, what are the first three that you would start with? Right? That would, like, build on each other and compound and just get you there. So sometimes we think too big, right? I think that's a big message from the book. Like, we're thinking too big,
right?
And it feels kind of insurmountable. Like, it's more powerful to think small, to think doable, and then add on to that. So
when I think about, like, jump starting my weight loss, the word that comes to mind is always rest. Like, typically, if I'm overeating, it's because I'm overtired. It's because I'm trying to do too much. So it isn't, I don't even go to sleep, because if I'm struggling with sleep, telling myself, oh, just get more sleep, that's not helpful. But I can rest. I can be, like, actively resting. That's a little ironic, but, like, I can make myself rest for a bit, take a few breaths, and just, again, pause. I love that. And just say, okay, what's the most important thing? And then I use the can I just. So for me, I know if the scale is, like, stalled out or it's just not doing what I want it to do, then clearly the first thing I have to do is rest. And then I can go to the next thing.
Yeah. I do that too, actively rest like throughout the day. Like, just, we just sit here for a minute and close my eyes and just about anything. That's still resting for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then, did you want to say something, Melissa?
I was going to say, with going back to work after all that treatment, I got, like, a couple weeks to go back to work, and then my 4,000 steps a day. Now I did a step bet, which someone posted on there, I got it from. So now, like, I 4 days a week, my goal is 7,200 steps. And then 2 days a week, it's like 95. And if I don't do it, I lose $40 of my money. So, that's really motivating in a backwards way, but, I would have never been able to get here without starting just even like the fourth out, like the doing, just setting a low ish number for every day in the month and knowing I did it 28 out of the 31 days is huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might have to borrow that hack of like to like one day out of the week, like doing like a higher count. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So step back's like you pay $40, whatever, and then you split mm-hmm. money of people that don't make it, but they take your average step. So mine was like between 4,000 and 5,000 and they up it. So they want 4 days a week. They give you a number. And so mine's just 7,200. And then 2 days a week, it's like, they probably almost doubled what I had, the 4,500 and the 9,200. Yeah. Then you get one rest day.
Yeah. That's a good way to increase your step goal or your movement goal. Right now mm-hmm. I'm at like 7,000 steps a day, which is what I usually do. But I'm like, I want to end up like around 10,000 steps a day. And so I'm kind of thinking like, I've been doing 7,000 for the past 30 days. I was like, I think I'm ready to go up to 8,000. But the thought of like doing that every day is a little intimidating. So I kind of like the idea of like, well, maybe just one day a week, we're going to start doing 8,000 yeah. steps or yeah. whatever. Yeah. I like that.
Make it tiny.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. And I like his ideas for how he tells you, like you can think of like ongoing things you can do to support a goal, and you can think of one-time things. I really like the idea of like one-time things you can do, whether it's, you know, going, you know, watching a quick hit on the website to, you know, that's about nighttime eating if you're trying to work on that. Or, you know, if it's movement, like a lot of us probably have some sort of a device that tracks our movement or tracks our steps. That was like a one-time thing that I did because I wanted to work on my movement. So, yeah. He does talk in there a lot about motivation. I felt like what he said about motivation is interesting. And I feel like Corinne has been talking about this for a while. Like she pretty much says like, fuck motivation. Like you don't need motivation. You don't need willpower. Like what you want is like determination. What you want is commitment. What you want is, you know, like not motivation. Motivation can be very up and down. And BJ Fogg talks about that in the book too. And I like all the little graphs that he had about motivation and playing around with it and stuff like that. I would love to hear like, how has your relationship with motivation changed since you read the book? Like, how do you see motivation? Do you rely on motivation? Like, I know you do a little bit, Melissa, because you don't want to lose your money, right?
That's like the negative motivation, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a way to use motivation. But what do you guys think about motivation? Do you think, motivation is reliable? Like, how do you view motivation?
I think if I wait for motivation, that's a passive, we used to call it passive action. Mm. And I actually think that by doing the action, I became motivated. Mm. It was almost reversed.
That yeah, now, that's such a good like, point.
Because I did it in August, all those actions that I actually tracked, now I'm motivated to do that again because I know I did do it and I did it well. I can do it again and I know it's easy and it wasn't hard to do at all. That and I say, can I just a lot to myself? Can I just this one meal? But it even could be like my husband says something annoying and I think to myself, can I just let that one go? Just this one time, not forever. Just this one time. Can I just let that go and not, you know, so I use those two things, but I think action is actually creating my motivation. It's the opposite of what I would have thought.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I use more progress over perfection versus motivation. Mm-hmm. So motivation, like I know Corinne has talked about it a lot. I was just listening to a replay of a call the other day and she's like, it's like dieting. You can do it for a little bit, but eventually it feels hard and it feels like that's the rock in your pocket. It's like keeping you stuck. So can I just is again, yeah, I think I live by that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I love how BJ Fogg kind of gives us that description. Like if you can't do this, this is a scaled down version of it, or this is a starter step. Like, go back and try to figure out what's the tiniest part of that you can do. And sometimes that's enough to like, oh gosh, I'm going to do that. I might as well do it all. So for me, sometimes it's in the morning, not really wanting to work out, but if I just get up and put on my sports bra, there's a pretty good chance because I want to take it off because it's the date on my shoulder. Like yeah. I can't put it on and take it off and not do anything. So I've found that that's really driven me to, even if it's just yoga, doesn't matter what it is. We don't judge, doesn't matter. But that's been a helpful way to look at it. Like, you know, not using motivation per se, but like just an action that drives behavior.
Yeah. I think Mel Robbins talks, go ahead, Julie.
Mel Robbins talks about that, the, you know, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, just, and that's like, do the action first. And sometimes doing the action will create the motivation.
Yeah.
I feel like motivation is like over here and it's like something we pretty much can't control, but then he brings it down to like the pack person or whatever, like the person action, what's the other one, context. And like, those are things we have control over and that we can do, where motivation is just like a feeling. It's almost like, kind of like you're just like, I ate because I was stressed. Well, no, you can control that. So I kind of like that. It seems like motivation is just like kind of out the window as a, like exactly what you said, the action creates the motivation.
Yeah. Well, it can be very like wishy-washy and sometimes it works this way, but then that day it didn't work that way. And like, it's just, it's very hard to like pin down sometimes and see how it works exactly. But I was going to say, like, I love, can I just, because it's a way to just naturally help you come up with a tiny action. Like he talks in here, obviously, about tiny habits. Habits are great, but I mean, a tiny action is also really great. It's also really powerful. So kind of love how, I mean, Karen's such a genius, we all know, but like, can I just, it just, it's going to help you create a tiny doable action that'll move you forward. And that's all we want to be doing, is just moving forward, be moving forward. So
the compound effect takes in, I've read Atomic Habits like 3 times, and I know he based a lot of that book on this book. And, you know, just knowing that all of those tiny little actions compounded over time, that's what creates our success. So that's been a helpful way to think. If I just keep doing this, I'm going to see results.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What do you guys think of celebrating? How do you guys celebrate your tiny habits, your tiny actions? Does that bring up any sort of drama for you guys? I know for a lot of women, like, just celebrating can feel kind of cheesy or corny, or like, you know, it's prideful or whatever. Did that come up for any of you guys?
I, with my iPad and my Good Notes, I have learned how to make stickers. So I will go to, like in the beginning when I did, I went to Google Images and just found things like, yay, you, or awesome, or you did it, or, and I would, you know, you do a screenshot and then you like trace around it and make it small. And I have a page full of my theme. I have a page for pause. I have a page. And so when I, achieved some goal, like no alcohol for that day, or I did, something, I will put one of those stickers real big on my assessment page, like, yay, I did it. I'm wonderful. You know, so I don't have to feel like I'm bragging because no one sees that page but me, but I still get that dopamine hit of, yeah, like I am rocking this or whatever it is. And, that's fun for me.
Yeah. Stickers are a fun one for sure. I had a client who she did a paper planning, and she would have her planner cover, and for every planner that she did, she would have a special theme, like one for when she did the office. And so like all of the stickers that she would put on her cover to celebrate anything, like if she sat with a nerd or whatever, she would put a sticker on there. And so she really loved filling up the cover with stickers and with wins. Every sticker was a win. And so that was really like motivating to her.
I use stickers in my daily calendar. I haven't figured out how to do them on Good Notes yet, but now I'm going to. I love that. It is. It's just a quick visual reminder, and you get that little dopamine hit. So I'm all about like the pens and the colored ink and like
all
that. And so like in my habit tracker, I use blue and yellow. So blue is on plan, yellow is off plan. So they're very soothing colors. They're not, you know, harsh, but I love looking at that. So I write, I'm proud, or I draw little pictures in there just to like, you know, yeah, you did it.
Exactly.
We never get past
Someone in the Facebook group posted they bought an applause button and then they hit it.
Like, oh, yeah. Applause.
So I looked on Amazon. I'm going to set them up today. I bought ones you can record a message. There's like four for $18 or something. So I'm going to find Corinne. And then I just thought, because I don't celebrate with the assessment at night, I'm going to put one next to my room, like my bed. And so, like, oh, yeah, there you go.
I think we got these in a camp swag box.
Oh, yeah. I have that somewhere.
This is a really good celebration button, maybe. Let me see what it says. Let me. That could be a fun celebration button.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I like that you're going to, yeah, that's cool. The one that you found where you can record something. You know, Corinne's voice is awesome, but hearing your own voice celebrate what you did is incredibly powerful. So that's that. Mm. I highly recommend anybody who wants to order that button too and record something for you to celebrate. My first grader loves this button. She'll press the button and she'll say it along with Corinne.
Oh God.
Mickey said in the chat, you can do it on Alexa too. It make a routine. It'll clap and play a song. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's cool.
What?
Oh,
buttons already.
That's a great idea. Cause I mean, who doesn't love clapping and dancing?
Yes.
Like you're getting in steps.
How do you do that? I'm going to find that out.
Some of us are going to be doing some Googling after this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon searching.
She said she'll post it today.
Yeah.
That's a cool little hack.
That is.
Awesome.
I could just see in the house, my husband's going to hear, "Yay, Julie, you rock."
There goes Julie again, doing her weird things that she does.
Yeah, he's used to it. Oh, God, that'd be funny.
All right. Any last things you want to share regarding the book? Anything that you would pass along to someone that didn't read the book, or anything that you want to make sure you remember, like your top takeaway as you move forward?
Read the book.
Read the book.
More than one.
Or listen to it.
Yeah. Listen to it. That's what I do.
Like, yeah, there's no shame in restarting if you were like, oh, I've kind of just been passively reading this. Let me start again and really take some notes this time. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What was your, if you have to pick one thing, what was your favorite thing from the book that you think other people should hear about?
I really think it's the celebration and how he says, we learn habits better by like being nice to ourselves instead of being
right.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Melissa. You didn't exercise again. You know, like it's a little corny to be like, hit your button or Alexa or be like, ta-da, you know, but like it really makes you feel better instead of the shame and the guilt that we're all probably here to get rid of in the first place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think talking down to yourself doesn't work. It's not motivating you. Like it's not like got you so excited to show up.
Just picture that little 3 or 4 year old girl who does something. And for the first time, and she goes, ta-da, and twirls around and just thinks she's so amazing. We all lost that and we need to do it again. And there's nothing wrong with it. And it's, we all ought to do it. Everyone
should
do it.
She's still inside us, right? That little 3 and 4 year old. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I love digging into the data. I have realized that I'm a very data-driven person. So using those little graphs, even if you don't draw it out, but even if you just think about it, and like, okay, what's the easiest thing I can do? And just like taking it down to the bare bones. And you know, I run a business and I've raised kids, and it's like, okay, what's the one thing I can do right now that will just move me one step forward? And just realizing that I have that power and it's in my control. And I can go through that data and say, okay, if that didn't work, great. No worries. Look at me for figuring it out. That's been my mantra. I will figure it out. So I love just having data points to know what to look for and have the ability to look for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Melissa? Do you have anything? Top thing from the book?
The celebration and the motivation, like how not to rely on motivation. Like it's kind of like when we start a habit, we're good. I don't want to say good. I hate that word now. You know, we get everything done in a week and then we start just being mean to ourselves and we start blaming lacking motivation. But if we kept up, even just like floss the one tooth, the one day you're really tired or whatever, you'll probably do more the next day.
Yeah. 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 That kind of ties back to like one of my favorite things where he talks about, he says emotions create habits, not repetition, not frequency, not fairy dust, emotions. So like, I just love, like, that was one of the very first things that he talked about. And I knew it was going to be good when I read it. Like, in order to create change in your life, like, you have to be feeling good about what you're doing. And it, again, it lines up with what Corinne teaches us inside the membership.
And we know our thoughts drive our emotions. So what we think,
what we feel. I love how they're just kind of like on the same wavelength. And sometimes it helps to hear it a different way and hear someone else talk about it in their own way in order, you know, to really drive it home. Somebody in the chat said, what's it? Seems like in every other area of my life, I can give myself grace and mercy. And with eating, I find myself struggling with this to lose weight. Like, what would you guys say to someone who struggles to, you know, be nice to themselves or celebrate something or feel good about what they're doing around trying to lose weight?
Change the story you're telling yourself. That's been a huge one for me. When I catch myself feeling like, ugh, I'm struggling, it's so hard. And then I feel like the story gets more dramatic. Yeah. Like I wrote down something the other day. I wish I could find something about, I'm not auditioning for the part in my life. I am the leading lady in this drama. Ooh. It doesn't have to be a drama. I wonder if I can find it really quick. It was just something that I had written down. But it was something like that, like the story that I was telling doesn't have to be so edge of your seat. Like, tell me more, like Corinne always says.
I wrote that years ago. My life is no longer a drama. It's just a documentary.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I can't find it. But anyway.
Yeah.
If you think of struggling with your weight, like if you had a friend saying, hey, I'm struggling with your weight, would you tell them things? Well, you're not doing this. You're not drinking your water. You're not, you know, like sometimes if I catch myself being really mean to myself, I think like, how would I talk to my friend? The way I talk to myself is absolutely not the same way I would ever talk to a friend.
Yeah. So and that for kind a lot of us, that's going to feel hard to do, to start doing that with ourselves, but let it be hard and do it anyway. Let it be hard and do it anyway. Like little repetitions and you'll start to get more comfortable with it. Right. Like if you haven't practiced it that way in decades, it makes sense. It's just going to feel weird and awkward and not true, but that's okay. Let it not feel true at first and just keep giving yourself that encouragement anyway, and it'll start to feel true. Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing about, you know, we were just saying that our feelings create our actions, our thoughts create our feelings. But the cool thing is we can always create our thoughts. We are in total control of what we think. And I can say when I do start getting negative, I think, oh, that's right. We don't do that anymore. And then I just focus on, well, what did I do right yesterday? Like if I just,
I
regretted something.
That sometimes like they get that as their homework. If they come on to their session and they're just going on about like, I messed up here and I overate there and they just feel like shit and I'm stuck. And I'm like, I just have to be like, pause,
right.
Let's start again. And for their homework, they get like, you have to write down three things you did right each day, or three things you feel good about, or three things like that you're proud of. I don't care how small they are, but you have to like start teaching your brain to do the opposite of what it's been doing, essentially.
Right.
Writing it down like on your plans or your assessments can be a really good way to do that. Yeah. So Laura says, I have a photo of me starting sixth grade and I look so innocent. That could be a good way to like get like have that picture nearby and just like remember her, like you're talking to her. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on here and discussing the book. I know we just got so much out of it. I got a lot out of discussing the book with you. Everybody in the chat was like sharing and loving what you guys were talking about. So thank you so much. Any last thing you want to say before we wrap up the call? You guys excited for the next book study? I don't know what it is yet. Somebody asked in the Q&A, will there be another book study? There will be another book study. I'm not sure just yet what the next book will be, but I'm sure it'll be another really good book. If anybody ever has any good ideas for potential books that we could do, you can always drop them and drop those suggestions in the Facebook group. Yeah, we'll hang out there in the meantime. And I'll let you guys know whenever the next book study is happening, potentially this fall or this winter. So I'll let you guys know. All right. Well, thank you so much. If you love the book, make sure you go and leave a review. That's always helpful for the author, or, you know, take a screenshot or a selfie and post it on social. Let BJ Fogg know that like thousands of No BS women read the book this month and got a lot out of it. Let's go like inundate his social media. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Have a lovely rest of your Saturday. Glitter, and I'll see you on the next book study call. Yes, glitter, confetti, confetti, confetti. All right.
I love that.
Bye, ladies.
Okay, bye.
Bye.